irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch. Welcome, everyone. As always, a great show for you today here on LA Talk Radio. We're talking about love. Yeah, Valentine's Day is coming up, and it's going to get you straight. You know, in your head about what to do in relationships, no matter what your sexual orientation is. You got to take care of yourself, and first, as I always say, and of course you've got to work on, you know, thinking about certain things to help you get along in relationships well. So are you looking for true love? Are you? Is there such thing out there? Well, a lot of my patients who come to see me say, no. So many single women and men out there have too much baggage. That's what I hear all the time. Oh, he's got too much baggage. Really? You're ruling out people so quickly? What's that about? Huh? How about when you're in a relationship that's going sour and you feel kind of trapped and doomed to live in a constant cycle of arguments and negativity with your partner? Been there? And, you know, so often I hear guys complaining about women that they're into too much drama. She's such a drama queen. Or women tell me that guys are too cold and they just can't express their feelings. You know, all they want to do is fix the problem. How can I fix it? You can't fix it. Just listen. Let me talk. So, you know, that's what we're all used to, that kind of thing, right? Yeah, of course we are. And, you know, it's so interesting because sharing some of the most common questions from my patients is fun. And you probably have done the same thing and thought about this. This is like, how can I spot the warning signs of a doomed relationship or someone who might be bad for me? How can I stop repeatedly arguing with my partner? Right? Well, before you even get into a serious relationship, it's important to know the signs that may indicate that someone may not be right for you at all. Well, you know what? It's really good business for me. Psychologists like me who work with folks who don't see the signs and end up sitting on my couch together. But see, my goal is to help people avoid relationship problems. And that's what we're going to help you with today. Like I said, it's almost Valentine's Day. So I've asked one of my favorite guests to come on the show today and talk about how to improve your relationships. He is Alan Fox, author of the New York Times bestseller, People Tools, Strategies for Building Relationships, Creating Joy, and Embracing Prosperity. And what he's going to do is share his wealth of advice and help you improve your relationships. And that's the way it goes. By the way, I want you to know that Alan has been doing so much. He's been real busy. He has graduate degrees in law, education, and professional writing. He's founder and CEO of a company that opens and manages more than $154 billion in commercial real estate. He's founder and publisher of Rattle, which is one of the most respected literary magazines in the country. And, you know, Alan, I could talk about your accolades for another half an hour, but let's just jump right in here. Thanks so much for being here on the show today.
My pleasure.
Always great to have you on. And we're also going to let folks know how they get a hold of your book, People Tools, and your latest one, People Tools for Business, right? We all need that. That's
yes.
Really
absolutely.
Yep, exactly. So since, you know, we've talked about the fact that Valentine's Day is almost here, we're going to help people out because your book is great in helping folks work out some of their relationships or looking for signs that might not be such good relationships. So I'd like to just kind of, let's just jump into some of the things going on out there. Let's just go for it right off the bat, shall we? Want to do that?
Absolutely.
So, Alan, what do you think are some of the most common things that people do that keep them from having healthy relationships?
Well, I think one is, Dr. Michelle, is wishful thinking.
Oh.
In other words, Ben Johnson wrote years ago that a second marriage represents the triumph of hope over experience. And I think even in first relationships, we have a lot of hope, but we don't have the experience, and the experience can turn out badly. But there are ways, as you were talking, there are ways to have a good first relationship and not go down the road of a bad relationship very far.
Well, that's true. That's for sure. And people do things that, you know, sometimes on purpose, they don't realize it. They don't give people a chance, or they're sometimes a little too picky, or they're sometimes, you know, hesitant to just allow, you know, right off the bat, what I hear, and I don't know about you, but you may hear this from clients, is, you know, they didn't know how to dress on the dates, or they make up these excuses. Like, you know, give someone a chance is what I always say. So don't judge people right away. Don't you think that's a good thing?
Yes, I do. And, you know, I have two rules when I was dating, on a first date particularly. First, I go to have a good time, not to see if this person is marriage material or what's good. I just want to have a nice time spending time with them on the first date. And secondly, I find that we all put on the face of our mother and father on everyone we meet. So I would always ask a woman, how'd you get along with your dad? If you didn't, you're probably going to think that I'm like him. Wow. And I think that's very, very important.
Gosh, you're so right, Alan. I mean, that's that whole thing is, you know, transference. You know, it's just like, oh, you know what? He's dad. Or, you know, vice versa. You know, women who have daddy and mommy issues or whatever. You know, we do. We see that. And we transfer those feelings on, you know, to those other people. So I love that idea that you just said, Alan. You want to have a good time. You're going on dates. You're meeting people. You just want to have a good time. What a great mindset, you know, instead of this desperate vibe, right? Don't you think people kind of pick up vibes of desperation from other people?
Yes.
Yeah.
Always. We just know. And, you know, I knew a fellow, he would send a big bouquet of flowers before the first date.
Really?
And to me, that says he's desperate, and he doesn't know if you like him, and he's trying to bribe you or something. After a date, if it goes well, sure. But you can't, men and women, you just can't appear desperate, even if you are.
God, that's so true. Now, so you were just kind of sharing, you know, you going out on dates and things like that. But I love to sort of get into people's personal lives, you know, as a psychologist. I like to share with listeners, my readers, you know, personal stuff. So let's take a peek at that. So not to be, you know, too intrusive, but you talk about in your book, People Tools, about the first time you saw your future wife, which you call the sizzle, and I'll ask you what that all means. And then you had subsequent dates, which you called the steak.
Yes.
I love that.
Can you
talk more about what that means? What do those things mean, anyway?
Okay, well, the sizzle is what you think, you know, what you expect. Well, we read advertising, and they tell you, you know, all the things that they want you to know that make their product seem favorable.
Yep.
Well, it's the same thing with people. With the sizzle, in my case, a way with the looks, the way she talks, so that's the sizzle.
Yeah.
The steak is what there really is. And, you know, at the restaurant, when your meal is served and you taste the steak, it may live up to its sizzle and it may not, just like people.
Yeah.
And to be personal, which is fine with me, I saw Devine. She was working at a rare bookstore where I was a customer, and I walked across the room and I saw her out of the corner of my eye working at her desk. And immediately I thought, wow, I didn't know she was married, single, had 10 children. I had absolutely no idea.
Right.
And but I thought, Wow.
Yeah.
I just was struck.
That's cool. I love those stories. So what I love is, and not to be too cliché-ish, but I mean, you not only talk the talk, but you walk the walk, because you've been married quite a while now, huh?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, we've been married close to 35 years.
Wow.
And the steak has proved to be quite tasty and enduring. But let me share, Dr. Michelle, when we went out for lunch,
yeah.
And my wife, Davine, said, was not my wife at the time, I don't date customers. And I thought she was about to leave. And I invented a people tool on the spot, which I wrote about in People Tools for Business, called the ticker tape. I thought, I don't know what to do. And she's about to leave. So I decided the ticker tape, I just tried to persuade her to date me, and I didn't censor what I was saying. I wasn't self-conscious. I just let it all hang out. I was real. And to my somewhat surprise and great delight, she decided to stay for lunch. And after that, we began to date with real dates. It was very nice.
That is very nice. I love those stories. By the way, in case you just tuned in here on LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle, and my special guest today is Alan Fox. Among many things, he is author of the New York Times bestseller People Tools, Strategies for Building Relationships, Creating Joy, and Embracing Prosperity. And his latest book is People Tools for Business. And we'll be talking about that and how you can get both of his books. So today what we're talking about is, just sort of how to help you improve your relationships, how to get it together, and I think more importantly, improve yourself. Take care of yourself and get to know who you are before you run out there and try to put your stuff on somebody else,
Yes, I could not agree more.
Yeah.
I'm just finishing. I will have completed next week for publication later this year, People Tools for Love and Relationships.
Oh, goody.
And one of my tools in the new book to come out is be the right person.
Yes. You say to be the right person and not find the right person. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. If you want to find somebody who's going to take care of you and solve all your problems, first of all, they may not want you. So you have to work on yourself to know exactly what you want in a relationship, what you're willing to give, and who you really are. Then you can be authentic when you meet someone, and if they like the authentic you, you might have a good relationship. If they don't like the authentic you, and you know, there's so much courtship behavior. Oh, yes, I love tennis. I love it all the time.
Yeah.
I know a woman who, on the day she was married, at the reception,
right.
She said to her new husband, "Now I don't have to get on your darn boat again in my life." Well, she was pretending.
Whoa.
So she wasn't the right person for him.
No. You know, I hear these horror stories, as I'm sure you do, about people who get with people who are wonderful and on good behavior and everything's fun and wonderful. And then once they get married, they change. What's up with that? I mean, that's a strange. It's like, okay, I've got him or I've got her now. I can actually be myself. And I
well, and you want to be yourself, obviously,
yeah.
in an intimate relationship,
sure.
Living together or being married. It's very important to be yourself,
yeah.
And that is why when you focus on being the right person, then you're going to be the same whether you're dating, whether you're living together. And each of you know what you're getting,
mm-hmm.
And I agree. You I think authenticity, while it can be scary, I think it's very, very important to relationships and to keep the relationship fresh and alive and real.
Yes, you're so right. We already have some comments and questions coming in from listeners who are regulars here on LA Talk Radio's On the Couch. But let me invite you, if you want to, we're not taking calls today. We're taking emails, guys. So if you want to email, it's straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. If you have any questions about love and relationships and issues that you may want to ask Alan Fox. the specialist, the author of the New York Times bestseller book we're talking about today, People Tools, Strategies for Building Your Relationships, Creating Joy, and Embracing Prosperity. So we're going to help you out a little bit today, and hopefully if you have questions, go for it, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. So, you know, in terms of creating healthier relationships, in your book you say that in a relationship, it's more important to pay attention to our partner's actions rather than what they say. So why is that so important?
It's important because we know who we are and we know who other people are based upon their actions. Mm. As they say, words are cheap. I can tell you that I am I'm a great baseball player. Well, then, you know, watch me hit a few balls. So right. What your partner does really is who they are. And, for example, if someone is late all the time, oh, I'll be on time, no problem. And then they arrive 20 minutes or half hour late. Mm. That's the belt buckle.
Yeah.
And I believe the belt buckle. And so I believe what people do. You know, my belt buckle, if I go to a buffet restaurant, I eat too much. I can say, I'm only going to have one plate. I want to be careful. And I go there and I have three helpings and I eat too much. That's my belt buckle.
Right.
So I know that. So even for myself, I don't believe my words. And when I talk about what I am going to do, I believe what I actually do.
Yeah. And that's really important, you know, when people are in relationships because, yeah, but you said, and you didn't show up. You didn't do
it.
That's a really common thing that I hear from couples. It's like, you said you were going to do this, but you didn't do it, and you haven't done it, and you keep giving me lip service. Yeah, but, you know, I'm busy, or I promise I will, but sometimes it just doesn't happen, right? So you have
to
really pay attention to individuals' actions probably before you really get into a relationship that's serious with them. You know, you've got to sort of see if they do what they say they're going to do, because that's a real red flag once you jump into
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, people who are successful and make things happen are really better material for a relationship because they will make good things happen in a relationship. They will listen, and they'll be able to get along better with you.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's really true. By the way, in case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle, and my special guest today is Alan Fox. He's been on the show before. He is a New York Times bestseller, author of the book People Tools, and we're talking about relationships today, how to create better relationships, how to find the right relationship for you. Just some insights on how you can be better for you as well, guys. If you want to email straighttalkdoc@gmail.com, you can, ask some questions to Alan, and he'll help you out. You know, he'll maybe answer some of your questions you have about creating healthier relationships. So just think about that, guys. They're coming in, Alan, so I'm getting you ready here.
Okay. Very good.
You know, as I understand you as well, we help people learn how to communicate their genuine feelings and improve their listening skills, you know, so they can, you know, communicate in a healthy way. You describe what you call a non-versation. I love that.
Yes.
To be a true relationship saver. What do you mean by that, Alan?
Okay. Well, in a relationship, I find that if you have something that you want changed and something which could be regarded as critical by your partner, I say this. Have a non-versation, meaning it's a monologue. In other words, I talk, you listen, or you talk and I listen. That way, your partner doesn't have to be thinking of what their answer is. They don't have to make excuses. They don't have to say, well, you're even messier than I am. All they have to do is listen and acknowledge that they've heard what you have to say. And then you don't talk about it. You don't try to resolve anything. The point is that the first thing you have to do in order to get a relationship and maintain it on the right course is to listen to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So when you don't have the fear of having to say something or defend yourself, and all you have to do is listen, and that's understood in advance.
Yeah.
You have a non-versation. I find that's a people tool, which is quite helpful.
Boy, is that ever. It's hard to have a non-versation. It's hard to just shut your trap. You know, zip it. Just
absolutely.
Listen.
Absolutely. Yes.
You want to say, yeah, but, yeah. So speaking about nonversation, I thought this is perfect. Here's a, we got a Gmail here. Yeah. And this is from Devin. Guess it's a guy. Because he says, hi, Alan. How can I talk to my girlfriend of 6 months who won't talk to me and clams up whenever we get into an argument? She folds her arms, goes into the humph in parentheses mode, and she plays this so-called passive-aggressive game with me. I can never get anything resolved with her until the dust settles, and then she decides to talk, but she never wants to discuss the problem. Ooh, that's a good one, Devin.
Sorry. Well, I have a nice people tool for that, which I used with my wife to her great surprise and I think delight years ago. Mm-hmm. I said to her, darling, I'd like to consult with you about a problem I'm having with someone. I think you have good ideas and I would like your help. And she brightened up. She said, great, that's wonderful. And I said, well, I'm having this problem with my wife,
Yep. Which
was her. And she laughed. And, but, you know, see, I got her on my side, trying to look at it through my point of view, and asking her, in effect, what do I have to do to get you to do what I want?
Ooh.
So instead of a confrontation, you try to get your girlfriend on your side.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's a good one. And humor is good. That always works, right?
And also, I'm fond of asking people, say, here's what I would like from you. What do I have to do? What do I have to do in order to make that happen?
Mm-hmm.
And that way, we're not arguing. And, you know, the other person could say, well, there's no way I'm going to do that. I just won't. All right, well, then you know. You don't have to have a fight about it.
Yeah.
Or they'll say, well, in order for me to do that for you, you know, if you want me to scratch your back for 10 minutes, you've got to scratch my back for 10 minutes or take out the garbage or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you ask what you have to do, that really lets them know that you're willing to do something and not just take from them.
Yeah.
So I think that might be another way for Devin to have a better conversation with his girlfriend.
Yeah, that's a good one, Alan. I love that. We have a good email here coming in from Becky. It says, I live in Los Angeles. I've been doing online dating for over 2 years. I'm 37 years old and can't seem to find a decent guy who doesn't have a lot of baggage, kids, exes, etc. I've been on a lot of dates, and I just can't find the right one. What should I do? Oh, boy. Oh, boy. That's a pretty heavily loaded question there, Alan. It's all on you, Alan, baby.
Okay. I think that's a situation, Becky, which many, many men and women find. And as you know, dates can be, if it's the wrong person, they can be absolutely interminable.
Yeah.
And which is why a good idea for the first time meeting, you meet somewhere where you can, you know, leave in half an hour if it's not working out.
Yeah.
But in terms of finding people, I think online is very good, and actually I know a number of people who have met their future spouses online.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that one of the big problems is online, it's easy to, I'm going to say it like it is, it's easy to lie.
Yeah.
It's easy to have a photo that's, mm-hmm. you know, 20 years ago,
mm-hmm.
which is basically a lie. So I think what you need to do is first really know what your core issues are.
Mm-hmm.
There's a people tool of core issues. What's really important? Correct. Maybe you don't want a smoker, and that's something you won't compromise.
Right.
And you're not going to just date someone because he's a man. You want to date somebody because he's someone you could be friends with. And so you'd have to figure out for yourself as clearly as you can what you want and some things you don't want. And then in your communication online, talk about that stuff and find out from them what they want and don't want. And also ask a man, mm-hmm. you know, how'd you get along with your mother? Ask him online, how many people you've dated in the past year? And if you want a relationship and he's dated 40 people in the last 40 weeks, well, you know, it's not too likely.
Yeah.
And, you know, let the man court you. Find out what he likes. Find out what mutual interests you have. If you're outdoors and you like hiking, then find someone who's not a couch potato.
That's it.
So I think you have to be selective online and be truthful. And you're much more likely to connect with someone who is going to get along with you quite well.
Yes. Good answer. Thank you so much for emailing in, Becky, by the way. We really appreciate, you know, your openness and everything. It's always so great. Don't you agree, Alan, for a lot of people who are out there looking for love, to try to mingle in person. So, like you said, you know, of course we lie online. We, you know, you can create these wonderful profiles and, you know, put pictures in there that are 10 years or plus older and make up stories, and then you meet the people and they can come off like sort of kind of great, but isn't it better sometimes, like you said, to you know, find in real life a club or a group or a temple or a church or volunteer organization, sort of somebody who has something in common with you, hiking club, like you said.
Yes.
Rather than just kind of, I know online dating is really a wonderful source, and I'm not putting it down, but sometimes we have to just really be there in person and watch how someone operates, you know, before
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
Get out of your house or apartment. And you're absolutely right. Join clubs, take classes, do activities which you are attracted to. If you always wanted to know more about Shakespeare, take a Shakespeare class.
Yeah.
When I was single, actually, I was interested in chess, but I'll tell you, that's not a great way to meet women.
I don't know. But, it's kind of sexy, Alan. It's kind of cool, you know.
But, you know, yes, meeting people, friends, get introductions from friends, and also, when you're out in the world, mm-hmm. Dr. Michelle, I walk around with a smile on my face all the time because I might be walking on the street. If I appear friendly and approachable, I'm likely to have someone say hello.
Yeah.
If I'm walking around with a scowl, people are going to go the other way. They're going to walk on the other side of the street. They don't want to have anything to do with me. So when you're out with people, be approachable. And by the way, in terms of people tools, current research indicates that when you smile, just the very act of turning the corners of your lips up creates endorphins in the brain, and you feel happier. It's really a neat technique.
It's very scientific. It's very physiological. You know, it does happen. It does work. And that's, you know, that's the old brain. It's survival. People see you're smiling. You're not an enemy. And, yeah, you know, it just does. Smile, even if you're feeling poorly, try to smile, act as if, and pretty soon it just sort of stays there. Not like a scary person, but yeah.
Absolutely. We know there's that The King and I have a song, "Whenever I Feel Afraid, I Hold My Head Erect and Whistle a Happy Tune, and no one will suspect I'm afraid." And you get yourself happy.
Way to go. Love that one. In case you just tuned in here, you are on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest, Alan Fox. He's author of the New York Times bestseller, People Tools, and we're talking about strategies for building relationships, creating joy, and embracing prosperity. His also his latest book, by the way, is called People Tools for Business, and it's excellent for corporations, individuals, to learn how to manage their business a little bit better and take care of themselves emotionally and mentally and come off very professional. We'll tell you how you can get a hold of his books at the end of the show. So don't you go anywhere, anybody. If you want to Gmail us, go for it. We're answering questions for people out there today. I got the wrong email here. StraightTalkDoc@gmail.com. StraightTalkDoc@gmail.com. And we've answered several questions about, you know, how to find the right relationship. I have a great one here from Dave in Hollywood. Oh, boy. You know we're in trouble when the email's from Hollywood, right? I'm sorry. Couldn't help myself. Well, what I'm saying is, you know, this is the land of, you know, movies and appearing beautiful and wonderful. So I thought this would be really interesting. It says, "Hey, Alan, I put a lot of emphasis on looks. How do I find a genuinely beautiful woman inside and out? Most of the women in my area of Southern California are so phony. Oh, boy. I don't know about that. I don't know, Dave. But anyway, what do you think about that one, Alan?
I would say this, and people in general can be phony, and they're phony because they're afraid. They're afraid if they're telling you how they really feel that you won't like them, and everyone tends to be like that. So my rule is go first. In other words, admit a flaw. You know, tell the other person something you're not too proud of. Something innocuous. No, not that you're an axe murderer. But when you share that, when you're open and genuine and admitting things yourself, that says to them that you're not so afraid and you're not judgmental and you're not going to judge them and say to them, what, you know, you married three times? Oh, that's terrible. So be open.
Yeah.
Be open about yourself.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. And give a lot of people a chance. I mean, when we, you know, no offense, Dave, or anything, but when we base our, you know, decisions about relationships upon how hot someone looks, you're not looking beyond that. You know, you've got to look beyond some of that and ask yourself, I think, why that's so important to you. What are you trying to prove to yourself or others? I mean, I get sexual attraction. Really, I do.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know. You got to sort of go a little deeper, Dave. That's my advice. Get a little deeper.
Yep.
So.
No, I agree.
And speaking about, you know, keeping it real, which you just discussed, Alan, in your book, People Tools, you write, quote, I love this, I find there's never been a downside when I have apologized. And there has seldom been an upside when I should have but didn't. So, hey, that a power of apology is so important. Can you talk about that a little more?
Absolutely. Many of us feel that if I say I'm sorry,
yeah,
that I'm admitting I did something wrong, and then you're going to attack me and pile on, when actually the opposite is true in two respects. First of all, well, I say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No one's going to start yelling at me and pile on. They're going to appreciate that. But secondly, what do you apologize for? Probably you did something you think was okay, and the other person has responded in a way you didn't anticipate.
Yeah.
You could always say, I'm sorry I upset you.
Yeah.
You don't have to say, I'm sorry I talked about, you know, the football game. I'm sorry I upset you. And you are sorry, aren't you?
Yeah.
You don't want to upset your girlfriend or boyfriend or spouse.
Yeah.
So you can apologize for a number of things.
Yeah.
And one of them is just, I'm sorry that you're upset. And that shows caring and comforting and that you're taking some responsibility. And to me, there is only upside from that. There is absolutely no downside.
Gosh, that's so true. Well said. Sometimes we have to pull down that ego, don't we? We just have to say,
oh, yes.
It doesn't matter. It's not a contest. You've got to care for the other person's feelings. And, you know, sometimes, even though you think you're right and you want to throw in, although I was right. No. It's always nice to be apologetic and say, wow.
Well, I have a chapter, because People Tools for Business is basically about business relationships.
Yeah.
And one tool is always right is wrong. When I started practicing law, I was always right. And if there was a problem, I would blame people in the office, and they avoided me.
Uh-oh.
They didn't like me.
Yep.
They would never admit their own mistakes. And you know, by age 30, I learned that I would take responsibility for my mistakes. In fact, I would tell people in my office, you make the little mistakes, and I make the big mistakes, and look at this. Boy, I really blew it. They loved it. Mm. It encouraged them. It built a team.
Yeah.
And, you know, in romance also, you want to build a relationship.
Right.
And being always having to be right is really obnoxious, and people don't like it.
No, they don't. And, you know, people trust you when you say, you know what, guys, I'm so sorry. I was just being, I don't know. I'm just sorry if I came off like, you know, a know-it-all or like I was perfect. Or people trust you after that. They go, whoa, this guy's genuine. He's really a good guy, you know?
Yes. You're absolutely, that's a perfect comment on it. Because trust.
Thanks.
Trust is the foundation of a good relationship.
You know, since we're getting a lot of Gmails in, and I want to, you know, talk more about some of the points in your book, People Tools, Alan. So many of my single clients are really focused on making a great first impression on their first or second dates. And I know you talk about this in your book. So what would you say to them to emphasize the importance of that first impression?
I think a good first impression is mandatory because if you don't make a good first impression, you'll never get another chance.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like applying for a job.
Yeah.
But you have to, I think the best way to make a good first impression is to be genuine, because that is such a relief. Obviously, you want to dress appropriately, but not overdo it. And you perhaps want to admit a flaw. And most importantly, when I was dating, a first date, my project was to find out as much as I could about the woman I was with. And if she asked me questions, I would be happy to answer them. But I was always surprised, because we'd be at dinner for 2 hours. I would learn a lot about her. And she always thought that I was really interesting. Not because I told her a lot, but because I was really interested in her.
Right.
So show your interest in the person you're with. And they will really like that.
Yes. Personal thing here. I before I met my husband, I met him because we were doing a business transaction together with his company and my company. Kind of happened to meet him and saw him in the boardroom. And I was very attracted to him, and he was to me. But later I found out from him on our... we went out after we completed the business transaction. Everything was signed, done. The money was in the bank and all that, so we didn't have to deal with that. But when we finally went out, he said to me, "I have to be perfectly honest with you. When I first met you, I was a little, I was a little hesitant because you had so much makeup on." And what was happening is, before I came to that meeting, I had done a television show. So I was still in full powder. the powder, the clown powder for, on television. And I had dark, eye makeup on and that kind of thing. And so I didn't sort of think about that. I just sort of showed up to the meeting, and he said, it was a little bit of a, "Oh my God, this woman wears a lot of makeup. What's she trying to hide?" So I thought that was pretty cool that he had, enough moxie to tell me that.
Absolutely. And I'll bet what you said is, what I always say is, "Thank you for telling me.
Yes.
I appreciate that." Because,
exactly.
You're a little scared if you tell somebody something you don't like about them.
Yeah.
I always thank them for telling me. I appreciate it. And I do.
Yes, exactly. Oh, it's so true. So we're talking, by the way, to Alan Fox. He's the author of People Tools. We've had him on the show before. He's always one of my favorite guests. And we're talking about creating better relationships and, of course, finding good relationships, but also finding you first before you find the right one out there, all that good stuff. We're going to be telling you how you can get a hold of his book, People Tools, and his latest, People Tools for Business. Great books, both of them, by the way, at the end of the show. So keep it right here on LA Talk Radio, and we'll tell you what's going on. So, in terms of finding relationships, we all feel insecure. It's really important for us to just feel okay about ourselves, no matter what. I mean, some people come to me and they say, "Well, I know I'm a little overweight," or "I know I don't look like Angelina Jolie," or "I know I don't look like a Brad Pitt," or, what I'm saying. It's like, I just feel so insecure. I feel ugly. I don't feel like I can live up to, what other people want. How do you tell people to build a little bit more of their self-esteem?
I think you have to have confidence, and you can best acquire confidence by being successful, but it's kind of a chicken and the egg problem.
Mm-hmm.
So I say, act as if you're confident, and also recognize that we are all of us, we are our own worst critic. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've been on some television shows, and I always ask my wife and others, you know, how'd I do?
Yeah.
And, you know, I say, it was okay. And then I look at it, and I think, oh, I did this wrong, I should have done that, I didn't stand up straight enough. So we're all our own worst critic, but you don't have to attack yourself.
Yeah.
And it may not be important to somebody else, and I may notice that, you know, my hair isn't quite right, and that nobody else does. It's okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think we all like people who are confident.
Yeah.
I mean, how can you take care of me unless you are confident?
Right.
I don't want you to fall to pieces.
Yeah.
So you have to really act confident, and then you will become more confident.
Way to go, you know. And you talk about the concept of good enough. And what you say in your book, People Tools, the 80% solution is another one of your tools. So, you know, it's sort of in keeping with the same idea. So can you explain what you mean by that, how you apply that to why the concept of good enough
Yep.
is better than trying to seek perfection?
Yes, the 80% solution is very important.
Yeah.
Because how do I know if my wife is the best woman in the world for me? Now, the odds are she's not. And there might be 100 women or 1,000 women who might be better, but I'm never going to meet them. And if I keep looking, I'm never going to have a relationship at all. So I say, if a person meets 80% or more of your criteria of perfection, 80%, and in business or in marriage or whatever the relationship, I say that is plenty good enough. And stick with them. And, you know, if they're in the mid or high 90s, I think you got a real winner.
Wow.
And if somebody's below 80%, then maybe you want to look to improve. But you're not going to find the perfect person, and you're not going to be the perfect person. So
right.
80%, I think, is
wow.
quite good.
That is good. And there is no perfection. I mean, perfection is what? What is that? We all have our own definitions and everything. So, I mean, there is no such thing, because we all come with our own stuff and our own little
yes.
messages about who we are, and we project that onto other people. Like when you and I were talking about, you know, finding mommy or daddy or not.
Yep.
You know, that kind of thing. So yeah, nobody's perfect, and you can't... You can't expect that of others because you're not perfect. So,
exactly.
Like you said, 80%. That's amazing. I love that. 80% is awesome. I mean, I suggest some people take 70. Go for it.
You know? Well, and you can set your own 70%
right.
for someone might be absolutely fine.
No.
But I'm just saying, pick a number and really settle and make the most of your relationship. And also try to be positive with your spouse or on a first date. People like people who are positive. If you're always complaining and criticizing,
that's right.
Then you're kind of a downer. And most of us like to be with people who are positive.
That's right. It's really true. You don't want to get on that drama train, you know, down, spiraling down into complaining. Don't do that. Guys, you're right.
Yep.
By the way, in case you just tuned in here, I'm speaking with Alan Fox. He's one of my favorite guests. He's the author of the book People Tools. We're talking about how to create better relationships, find them as well, and you know, just kind of help you out. So let's give the audience, listeners right now, some ideas. What can they do right now, right this moment? Stop and think, guys, to improve their relationships, whether they're dating or married or just with a partner right now.
Well, one thing you can do is smile, because you'll feel better.
Yep.
Another thing you can do, one of my people tools is love attack.
Mm.
You know, I write a text, or when I'm feeling especially close to someone, I say, you know, I've been thinking about you, and it made me smile.
Mm.
Or I really liked what you said last time we were together. Or I'm really looking forward to seeing you on Saturday night.
Mm.
So send them a text, send them an email, call them up, but communicate that you like them.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I wanted, you know, how do you get someone to love you? And I went to the library, I read books and magazines, and one sentence really did it for me. It said, if you want someone to love you, love them first. So,
wow. Yes.
Tell people you care about them. Is
yes.
it risky? Sure.
Yeah.
But it also can be very, very successful.
Sure. You got to take risks, folks. You know, if you stay indoors and are afraid to communicate with guys or women because you're playing this cat and mouse game, well, I wanted to text him, but I didn't want to come off needy, or I have been waiting for his text for 3 days. Shall I text? You know, come on, guys. Just go for it. And if they don't respond appropriately or if they're not interested, next.
Absolutely.
Right? So, hey, where can we find out more about you and pick up your book, People Tools, 54 Strategies for Building Relationships, Creating Joy, and Embracing Prosperity? And also, of course, you have your latest book out, which is great, by the way. Thank you so much for that. It's called People Tools for Business, 50 Strategies for Building Success, Creating Wealth, and Finding Happiness. What's the best way to find those books?
Well, the way to find me is at peopletoolsbook.com. Mm-hmm. That's three words, peopletools, T-O-O-L-S, book.com. And I do a weekly blog, so people can get advice and also ask me questions on the blog, and I'd be happy to answer. I always do. And the books themselves, People Tools and People Tools for Business, are available at Barnes & Noble, local bookstores, Amazon, of course. It's easy to order there. And it's also available in some libraries. So if you want to go to the library, that's a very good place to look also.
Sure is. Hey, Alan, you're the best. Thanks so much for being on the show, as always.
Dr. Michelle, it's been a treat. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's great. And thanks for helping out the listeners. I know they're going to get a lot out of it. So,
My pleasure.
Have a great, nice, happy, romantic Valentine's Day.
Absolutely. Thank you. Same to you, Michelle.
Thanks. Bye now. All righty. There will be information up here on my website page here on LA Talk Radio as to how you can get a hold of Alan's book and also how you can download or replay the show again, because it will be available in the archives with all that information tomorrow and beyond. All my shows are also on iTunes podcasts for free on the couch with Dr. Michelle. It's about that time now, as I always say, do take care of yourself first. Then you will be great for others, and that's the way it works in the world. Have a wonderful weekend, week ahead, and next week we're going to be talking about improving yourself, getting in touch with who you are, working on some of those issues. Take care now. Bye-bye. Just